الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الجمعة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون وقال تبارك وتعالى في نفس السورة هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الصف وسورة التوبة وسورة الفتح هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله صدق الله العظيم وعن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه رواه الإمام البخاري رحمه الله وعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما ويضع به آخرين رواه الإمام مسلم رحمه الله وعن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبتان يجلس بينهما يقرأ القرآن ويذكر الناس رواه الإمام مسلم رحمه الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, as you know we have gathered here to offer the Juma prayer. That is why I have decided to share with you some of my thoughts and my understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to what is the wisdom of this Juma congregation. In our religion, there is no hukm which has no hikmah. Every command, every order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given has a wisdom and a purpose behind it. We have no rituals in Islam. No rituals at all. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made farz upon us, has made imperative upon us, it has some wisdom. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ Establish prayer for my remembrance. That is the real purpose. If you are saying the prayer, and if you are not having the real remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's no prayer at all. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ That is the purpose. If taqwa, you don't get out of Psalm, it is not Psalm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَمْ مِنْ سَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَوْمِهِ لَلْجُورِ Because if he is not getting taqwa out of it, it's only going to be, you have had the hunger and thirst, but not the real purpose of taqwa, though of the Psalm. In the same way, this congregation, actually what is the purpose? For this purpose, I must refer to you to the ayah that I recited from Surah As-Saff, And that is one of the most important ayat of the Quran. Because it has been repeated in the Quran thrice. Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 33. Surah Al-Fath, ayah 28. And here it is, ayah number 9 of Surah As-Saff. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ We must understand as to what was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why he was sent? Allah sent him, and actually it is for him to fix the purpose why he has sent his messenger. And that is why he had made it clear thrice in the Quran. It is he, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent his messenger, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with two things, bil huda, with the guidance, the total guidance, the complete guidance, the eternal guidance, that is the Quran. Wa deenil haqqe, and just social order, full system of life, which is based on justice and fair play, which is based on equitable distribution of wealth, no exploitation of man by man, no repression of man by man, no discrimination between human beings. Anything of this sort is actual cruelty and injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His just social order, deenul haq, the deen which is true, the deen which is based on social justice. And what more was Muhammad sent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make this deen supreme? لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ Because there's no use having a good system of life written only in the books. To what purpose? To what benefit? If it is not established, if it is not established on earth, so actually that was the purpose that has been given thrice in the Quran, that Muhammad was sent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ To make the deen of Allah, the deenul haq, supreme over the whole system of life. Now for that, there must be some methodology. How to do it? What's the basic methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, in the Quran, in the Mushaf, immediately after Surah As-Saff, you have Surah Al-Jum'ah. And in the first part, first section of that Surah Al-Jum'ah is the ayah that I recited. And that is, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ That was the methodology that Muhammad employed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reading out to the men, to the human beings, reciting unto them, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the beginning of his revolutionary process with which he revolutionized the whole society, with which he changed the thinking of people, their values. Actually, all the matter of human attitude depends upon the thinking of his revolutionary process with which he revolutionized the whole society, with which he changed the thinking of people, their values. All the matter of human attitude depends upon the thinking. If the thinking is wrong, attitude will be wrong. If the thinking is correct, his behavior will be correct. If his values are okay, then his attitude will be okay. If values are wrong, then his behavior will be wrong. So first of all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by reciting the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the thinking of people correct. Based on iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the creator. He is alone. No partner with Him. He has all the attributes, all the good attributes. He is omnipotent. Ala kulli shayin qadir. He is omniscient. Bi kulli shayin alim. He is everywhere present. Huwa maakum aina ma kuntum. All these attributes, you must believe from the bottoms of your heart. And then the belief is resurrection. That we shall be resurrected after death. And we shall have to stand before our Lord, our Creator, to face the grand accountability of the Day of Judgment. All the accounts of our deeds, not only of deeds, but also the words that we are uttering. Not only the words that we are uttering, but also the intentions which are there in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And we shall be brought to the book to explain what you have been doing. What were your intentions? What were your ambitions? Perhaps a person is doing something which apparently appears to be good, but his intentions are bad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-amalu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa." Unless the intentions are purified, if only the actions have been purified, actions are correct, actions are good, but the good intentions, if they are performed under wrong intention, the niyyah, the intention is wrong, then actually it is shirk. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla yurai faqad ashraka, wa man sama yurai faqad ashraka, wa man tasaddaqa yurai faqad ashraka. Whosoever prayed to show off his piety to the people, he committed shirk, the worst crime in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. And that is the crime. The Prophet of Allah is saying that if person prays or he keeps fasting or he is giving charity, but only to show off his piety, to show off to the people his righteousness, then actually he is committing shirk. So actually, by narrating ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by reciting to the people the ayat of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam achieved two targets. Number one, thinking of the people should be correct. They should know that we have been created by Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have not come into existence on our own. He is the created, He is the creator, He created us. And that we shall have to return to Him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then you should know that He sent messengers. He sent down His books for the guidance of the humanity. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of His messengers. But the last messenger, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things, all the thinking should be based on these fundamental, the articles of faith and iman. Then the second target that the Prophet achieved was the purification of the soul, so as to purify the niyyah, the intentions. That is why the ayah says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. This yuzakkihim is the second part. So that their souls, they are purified. Their intentions are correct. Whatever they are doing only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the reward in the hereafter only. No reward here. No praise from the people. Nothing to get in this world. But only to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reward in the hereafter. Then the third function that he performed was, actually when a person's thinking is correct, when his intentions have become correct, now give him the order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it first. He will obey. When he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared something haram, he will refrain from it. That is why it is the third thing that this ayah gives us. وَيُعَلَّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. He teaches them the book. The book is the law. This book contains the law. This is haram. This is halal. This is permissible. This is forbidden. And the final training, the last stage, the highest stage of the training and teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, وَيُعَلَّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Wisdom. They should have the wisdom. They should understand the wisdom. Now not only the total wisdom of Iman, but the wisdom behind every act of the Sharia, every commandment of the Sharia. Because if they don't have the wisdom, they won't be able to make ijtihad. And now because after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no Nabi has to come, no Rasul has to come, no more any guidance has to come to humanity through any messenger of Allah. Therefore the people have to make ijtihad. New situations will arise, new problems will arise, and at every moment, at every step, you will be needed to make ijtihad. And for ijtihad, you must be equipped with the hikmah, with the wisdom of the Sharia. Not only knowing the laws of the Sharia, but the wisdom underlying those laws, they should be known to you. So that was the process with which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed people. And I may use the word, he revolutionized the people, the individuals. Unless the individuals are reformed, unless the individuals, they have been revolutionized, they have become real Muslim, real believing Muslim, having real faith, real good deeds, and if they are now ready to sacrifice everything for the cause of Allah, their lusts in life, their desires in life, their ambitions in life, they are ready to sacrifice everything, whatever belongs to them. Not only the worldly belongings, but also the bodily resources. They are ready to devote them for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this jihad bil Quran, let me quote the ayah from Surah Al-Furqan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't obey these kuffar, don't follow them, even if they appear to be very sincere.
Even if you feel that Buddha is giving you a very sincere advice, don't even listen to them. They are kuffar. They will lead you astray. You continue your jihad. You make jihad against them. The biggest jihad, jihad on Kabira. But this jihad will be with Quran. You have to make jihad with Quran. فَلَا تُتَعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. This jihad with Quran, it continued for 12 long years. There was no jihad with sword. There was no war. There was no fighting. On the contrary, we find that the Muslims were forbidden that even if you are beaten, even if you are persecuted, you have not to retaliate. No revenge, nothing of the sort. Rather, do good to them. Who is calling names to you, you pray for them. Who is stoning you, you pray for them. The Prophet did it. What happened to him in Taif, everybody knows. People stoned him. His body was bleeding. And at one time, he felt weak and he sat down. Two street urchins came. And one, he lifted him from the right arm, the other from the left arm. Go! That was the treatment meted out to him at times from the people of Taif. But when the angel, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deputed on the mountain, he came, O Messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you. If you say, if you wish, I will strike these two mountains, in between which, this valley between the two mountains, this city of Taif is situated, so that these people who have persecuted you, who have stoned you, they are just cursed. But what did the Prophet say? No. Maybe their next generation gets iman. Why should I pray for the punishment of these people? For the extermination of these people? So this was the attitude of the Prophet. Not only of the Prophet. All the Sahaba were given the command. No retaliation. No raising of hands, even in self-defense. It was not a terrorist activity. It was not a terrorist movement. It was a movement of knowledge, impart knowledge. Prophet says, Innama bu'istu mu'alliman. I have been sent as a teacher. I am a teacher. I am teaching people. First of all, I recite to them the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These ayat, these signs of Allah, they will rectify, straighten out their thinking. They will purify their souls from within. And then the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the do's and don'ts of the Sharia, they will be acceptable to them. And then they will be wise enough to see their way with their own eyes now in the future. So that was the process of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We people today, we are omitting this part of the revolutionary process of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many brothers, many movements in different countries of the world, they are active. I don't doubt their sincerity. They are sincere. But either in political activity or terrorist activity, they are wasting their talent and time. They have to focus on Quran, as I narrated to you two ahadith also. One from Hazrat Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala. He says that the Prophet said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best among you are those who learn Quran and teach Quran. The best among you. Just search your heart. If you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does it mean? All the professions, all the careers, may it be the medical profession, may it be the engineering profession, or you know IBM, or IBA, or MBA, whatever you may do, and whatever career you may adopt, all careers are inferior to the career that the Prophet is declaring, خَيْرُكُمْ. This is the best career. Devote yourself. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you intelligence, understanding, well, you devote this intelligence and the faculty of understanding to the understanding of Quran, not only reading it superficially. Dive deep into the meanings of the Quran, because this Quran has everything. فِيهَ نَبَعُ مَا قَبْلَكُمْ وَخَبَرُ مَا بَعْدَكُمْ وَحُكْمَ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. These are the wordings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you have to ponder over it. You have to dive deep into the ocean of its meaning. And second hadith, that is from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. The first hadith has been reported by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. The second one is from Imam Muslim rahimahullah. And it is reported by Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. He says that the Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَدَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the nations, make them high, who take to this Quran in their hands, who pursue it, who follow it, who make it their imam and leader. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate the nations who turn their backs towards Quran. Today if we see, actually why are we being humiliated in the world? Why? According to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the diagnosis is that we have turned our backs to Quran. We don't learn Quran. We are learning professions. We are learning physical sciences. We are learning the administrative sciences. And we are devoting 20 years, 25 years of our life, precious long 20 to 25 years of life, in learning and getting the knowledge of these worldly professions. How many of us are ready to devote the life and adopt it as a career, full life career? What the Prophet said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Now because none is doing it, only because we have a profession, because we need imams for our mosque, so there is an education. There are madrasas, and they are only to provide imams and khatib for the mosque. Actually the people who should have been doing this work, they should be the leaders of the nation. They should be the leaders at the top of the nation. Just as we find in the days of the past caliphate, whosoever was the head of the state, be it Umar or Usman or Abu Bakr or Ali, he was the khatib at the minbar in Masjid al-Nabawi. And whosoever was a governor in any of the capitals of the governor, provincial capitals, he was the khatib. In our deen, there is no dichotomy of this is the leadership of the world, secular leadership, and this is the leadership of the religion. Actually, unless we make these two things meet, we make it potentially one thing, we shall not be able to succeed. And this can only be possible when every one of us makes, since it necessary for him, farz on him, that he should learn Arabic language, at least that much Arabic language, that he should be able to understand Quran directly. Let Quran speak to your heart directly, not with the intervention of any translation, not through the interpretation of a mufassir. Let the Quran descend on your heart. Let the Quran speak to your soul directly. And that is only possible if you learn as much Arabic as is necessary to have a direct understanding of the Quran. Now the second hadith I told you, it is telling us why have we been humiliated in this earth. Because we have turned our back to the Quran. As Quran says about the former Muslim Ummah, the Yahud whom they hate, but we are following in their footsteps. We are doing what they did. It was said of the Yahud, Bani Israel in the Quran, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَا ظُهُورِهِمْ. A part of that nation, they threw the book of Allah on their backs. Now look to yourselves. Have we not thrown it on our backs? Are we reading it? Are we learning Arabic to understand it? Are we following it? Are we spending and devoting the best of our intelligence and understanding to dive deep into the meanings of the Quran? If we are not doing it, actually we are following in the footsteps of that Maghdoob-e Alayhim nation. That nation about which Allah says, at two places in the Quran Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, Uzkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum, wa anni faddaltukum ala al-alamin. I made you superior over all of the nations of the world. But the same people, about them Quran says again, ضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله. The humiliation and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was heaped upon them. Why? Due to their actions, due to their deeds. They still believed in Allah. They still believed in Moses. They still believed that the Torah was the book of Allah. But their attitude, their behavior, their attitude in life, all was contrary, just in the opposite direction. That is the condition of the Muslim Ummah today. So we must make a firm resolve. Each one of us must understand Quran, devote the best of his faculties, the best of the qualities Allah has given him, the best and better part, and more and better part of his understanding and time, to learning Quran and then disseminating the knowledge and wisdom and message of Quran to the whole of humanity. Then only a jamaah, A Hizbullah will be prepared, which will have some reflection of the character of Sahaba-e-Kiram, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Now if that jama'ah, if that group will make jihad, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will crown their jihad with success. Why is it happening? We are doing jihad. There was jihad in Afghanistan. What was the result? There was jihad in Al-Jazair. In the 50s, I remember, I was a young man at that time. I was Amir of Jamaat-e-Islami, of a district. Allama Bashirul Ibrahimi Al-Jazairi came there to collect funds. He made such a beautiful and such a moving speech. I was deeply moved that jihad fi sabilillah has again come on this earth. But what was the result? The outcome was a socialist government. This is happening to us after so many years. Again in jihad of Afghanistan, it has resulted in fasad in Afghanistan. We are bringing bad name to our jihad. The very sacred name of jihad fi sabilillah. If this is the outcome, then actually what will people think of about jihad? What will they think about Islam and Quran? And this is because we are not following the true methodology of the Prophet. First you have to change the individuals. Revolutionize their characters. Make them really believe in Muslims. Really practicing Muslims. Give them the understanding and knowledge and wisdom of Quran. Then they'll be mature enough. If they make jihad for the cause of Allah, well, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the ummah, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. But you have to fulfill two conditions. Real iman, real faith. And then real good deeds. Covering the whole life. All the aspects of life. Not only praying and fasting. But your business. Your careers. Your social structure. All the things that you are doing, that should be in accordance with the Sharia. Then only you will qualify to wear jihad for the cause of Allah. May Allah help me and you to make a firm resolve. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. But for that, the second resolve that we have to make is that we shall follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Unless we follow the model of Muhammad, we shall not be able to succeed. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself also and for you. أَقُولَ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.